Reformed Church.
Thank you, Jesus, so much for the grace that is here right now that you have put on the inside of us and the grace that comes upon us, Lord, also. Thank you, Lord, for the grace that has been given to us because it's given through Jesus and it's not because of our work. It's not because of what we do, and therefore it keeps flowing, Lord, regardless of what we do or wrong or right thoughts that we think. I thank you so much, Lord, that the grace keeps flowing, and it's not based on us, Lord. It's based on Jesus and just us putting faith in Jesus. So thank you so much, Father, for the grace that just continues to flow and that is not hindered by our works, Lord. But I pray that we wouldn't look to the right or to the left so that we don't hinder that grace, Lord, because it's just eyes on you, Lord, that keeps that flowing. So if we just keep our eyes on you, no matter what happens, I thank you that the grace keeps flowing and increasing, Lord, as we just continue to place our eyes on you, Jesus. You are the answer, Lord. Jesus, you are the answer. I thank you so much for being the answer to us and the answer to this entire world. Jesus, I thank you so much that we get to provide an answer to things that most people in this world don't realize there is an answer to. When everyone else is telling this world, no, there's no fix to that, no, there's nothing you can do about that, that's just the way it is, life isn't fair, or whatever they tell people, I thank you so much, Lord, for the privilege to be able to tell people that there is an answer where people may have told them that there isn't an answer. Thank you so much, Father, for the privilege that we get to stand in this church or even in our own personal time, and we get to tell people that there's an actual answer to that problem, and we have it. Thank you so much, Jesus, for being the answer. You are God's response to all suffering, Lord, to all pain, to all mental anguish, Lord, to any problem we could ever face, Lord, any lack. I thank you, Jesus, that you are the answer to it. Family problems, Lord, union amongst people, arguments and debates, Lord, problems with sin, with addiction, Lord, righting wrongs. Jesus, you are the answer to all of that. And Jesus, I just thank you so much that we have the privilege of looking someone in the eye and saying, there's a fix for that, there's an answer for that, and that you're not just left in this problem. Thank you so much, Lord, that we get to tell people that. And Jesus, we only get to tell people that because of you. It's not because of us, Lord. It's not because we've done something so great. Jesus, you are the focus. You are the one we're putting people's eyes on. And that's why we get to tell people that. Thank you so much, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Jesus. Amen. I just want to tell you something that I was thinking about on the way here. Because, you know, even what we were just praying about, how, you know, there's so many opinions and so many things that people will share amongst themselves or even tell us, right, as far as what's fixable and where you can see improvement and what you can see in your life and what you can't, and you know, all of these limitations that people will put as to what you can see in your life, or you just or we put them on ourselves a lot of times for lack of knowledge. Man, we will just chalk something up to our personality. Oh, I'm just this kind of person, therefore that's the reason why I'm not seeing or can't see this in my life. And maybe even us at this church might not say, I can't see it in my life, but we really get so used to the status quo in our life, and we put limitations on ourselves. And man, you can't manifest, you can't grow in your manifestation further if you're just going to chalk something up to, oh, it's just my personality, or this is just the way that I am, or this is just the way that things are. You can't grow. How are you going to grow past that? Like, this is why a lot of times when people tell me things about stuff they're doing wrong in their life or stuff that's going wrong in their life, if they tell me that and say, you know, I know Jesus provides something better, I'm growing in my knowledge, and I'm going to lay hold on those things, what more am I going to tell you? Like, good. Like, so you're doing something wrong in your life, but you tell me, listen, I don't agree with it, Pastor Mike. I don't agree with that. I know it's wrong. I know Jesus provided me something better. I'm feeling something, Pastor Mike, but I know Jesus provides something better. I'm going to lay hold on that. I have like nothing to say to you. Even with you doing something wrong in your life, you're going to tell me that? I mean, granted, if there's some kind of help or something that we can do temporarily for something you're feeling or something you're doing wrong, or fine, let's do those temporary measures to help something out. But like, I have nothing to tell you. It's when someone says, I'm feeling this thing, but you know, this is just the way that it is, or you know, oh, I'm doing this wrong thing, and you know what? I don't think that it's so bad. You know, I think this is just my person. Some people are just like that. Like, see, now it's not the thing that you're experiencing. It's not the thing that you're doing. It's either by means of you're justifying it or by means of saying it's just the way that it is, or you have put a limit. And the problem that I have isn't just the thing you're experiencing, what you're feeling, or the thing you're doing wrong. Now the problem I have is actually your belief about it. You see, that's what it comes down to. What do you believe about it? You know, you could be doing something wrong and we can still be of the same mind if you just don't believe wrong about it. You see, that's the problem even today, even in the country, where there's just grown into like this this justification. There are certain sins that people just justify today. They're not worse sins than other sins. They're not, you know, more bad than, I guess that's what worse means. They're not worse than something else. It's just there's a justification that has sort of come to fruition in recent years, right? Legalization and justification. Of course, we know what I'm talking about, but those things are not worse than other sins. It's just wrong. I do stuff wrong. Other people do stuff wrong. But you see, when you justify it, what you've done is now you've told me, I have limited what God can do in my life regarding this particular sin. So let me be clear, right? I'm talking about like gay rights and things like that people talk about today. Listen, having a gay lust is no worse than having an adulterous straight lust. It's lust, right? It's lust. It's something that Jesus can transform. And if you were to tell me, Pastor Mike, you know what? I have these feelings and stuff like that that, you know what, I don't agree with, but it's something that I have felt before, and I just want to let you know that, you know, I need help with this or I need advice on this, but I don't agree with it. I know Jesus provided something better for me. Great, let's grow. Let's grow in our knowledge. I'm growing, being transformed myself. The reason why justification of these things, or if you're feeling or experiencing something and saying, you know, I'm just getting older, or I'm just, this is just what happens, or, you know, you see, when you justify it or you put a cap on it and you're just sort of like, nope, I just put a lid on that. That's just sort of the way that it is. The problem, the main problem there is actually not the thing. It's not what you're feeling. It's not the thing you're doing wrong. It's actually your belief about it. The only obedience that God wants from us, right, is the obedience of faith. That means that God doesn't want you to pull yourself out of your circumstance. He wants you to believe correctly about what Jesus did for your circumstance. That's your only obedience. Your obedience is not to pull yourself out and make your body well. It's not to make your body do the right thing. It's not to dictate to your flesh to do the right thing or for your thoughts to think proper, pure thoughts. God wants you to believe correctly about the circumstance of what Jesus has done. While you're still justifying it, or while you're still saying, you know, it is the way it is, it's part of my personality, some people are just like this, you know, whatever either the justification or just the sort of complacency is with the belief, whenever you do that, that's really the problem, because you have limited God in that area. And that's really the problem, even with the, you know, just using that example with the legalization of certain things and sort of a general consensus in this country to say, well, this thing is justifiable. They're not saying, no, God's not judging these people for this, right? Because I would say the same thing. Hey, God's not judging you for it anymore, and he's judging me for my sin. God's not judging this world. But you see, when I do something wrong, I endeavor to not justify it, because justification is complacency and acceptance of the thing. That's what justification is. Justification is that I accept this. I accept sin or death. That's complacency. That is wrong believing, especially for a believer who has escaped these things through the righteousness of God. But if you're not complacent with these things, because that's really the problem, is the belief about it, that I have to accept this the way that it is. People told me I'm this way, therefore my life will go this way. People have told me that it's okay to be gay, and therefore I'm just going to accept being gay, or I'm just going to accept being these things as my reality and my truth of who I am, and I can't change it. That's not true. It's true that you can't change it, but it's untrue that there's not an answer for these things. And it's not the feeling, the lust of whatever kind it is, gay or straight or whatever it is. It's not any of these things. It's not the notion that, I'm feeling a certain way, or I'm not feeling well today. That's actually the problem. The problem is our beliefs. When we look at these things and Because when you either justify it or you say that's just the way it is, what you're saying is there's no answer for it. There's no answer for it. If you kind of get down to it, you're saying there's no answer. And if you actually, you know, probe into that even further, you find you're saying there's no savior for it. When you dig down in there, justification, acceptance, and complacency about what we believe about these things, we're saying there's no savior for this. Or if there is, I'm certainly not aware of it or not interested in accepting what he did. You see, that's my only issue when people talk about what things they're doing wrong or things that they're feeling, is that it's the not seeing that there's already an answer for that. And someone can come to me, reminds me like 70 times 7 times over the same issue that they're doing wrong. And if they will tell me every single time, and I can judge by the Spirit that they are sincere and say, you know what, I still don't agree with this. And you know what, I need you to help me temporarily to do this or that, to sort of box this in some way, but I'm going to lay hold on transformation in this area. Listen, I've done so many things repeatedly wrong. But that's not what God's looking for me to pull myself out of that. God's looking for me that no matter what I do wrong or no matter what I feel, that I will not accept something as my truth as a believer. I will look to Jesus, measure myself by him, and accept the things I see in him as reality, and everything else is not who I am. When you can do that, whether it's doing something wrong or feeling something wrong or anything in between, sin or death or anything, sin and death is not the problem today. Sin and death is not the problem today. I'll stop with this, but never mistake when we say at this church that the only two problems that came into the world through Adam are sin and death. Don't mistake that for the fact that today the two root problems are sin and death. That isn't true. There's only one root problem today, and that's unbelief. That's it. Sin and death are the only two problems that came into the world, but now that there's a savior for those things, now that there's already salvation, how can those be the root problems today if there's salvation for those things? Now the root problem is just unbelief, because if you would just believe, those two problems are fixed. Let me give you a quick analogy for this, and then I'll stop. If somebody is sick and dying of something, and there's no cure or anything, you would say, what's the root problem that's killing them? It would be the sickness. I'm just saying, in an enclosed world, completely apart from Jesus, right? Just an analogy. So you would say, okay, the root problem is the sickness. But if you put a vial of something next to them that was just, it would completely cure them, and you put it on their nightstand next to them, and it's right there, they're perfectly able to reach over and grab it and take it, but they don't know it's there, and they die of the sickness. What was the root of the death? Was it really the sickness, or was it really their ignorance? It was really their ignorance. Once you provide a cure for something, the root problem is now ignorance of the cure, not the thing itself. So when you say sin and death are not the root problem today. It's just simply not. That has been fixed. The root problem is unbelief, and therefore that's why God's only asking you to believe what he did and don't accept the things that you see as being unfixable or they're not being an answer to them. And I'm not saying we would use those words, but whenever we justify something or accept something or we are complacent in something, we are saying that I'm either bound to it, or there's no savior from this, or there's no answer to this. And it's those beliefs that are the problem. It's not knowing the vial, which the vial represents Jesus in that analogy. It's not understanding the vial. It's ignorance of the vial, of the cure, that actually kills people today. And that's why it says to be carnally minded is death. Because it's the carnal mindedness of people, that the ignorance that separates them from the life of God. In Ephesians, it says that. It's the ignorance that separates people from the life of God. That ignorance is the problem. But you know what? I so appreciate that the people that are here and many people that are listening even online right now, people that understand the truth, you don't have that ignorance problem like the world does, because you've already found the vial. All you're doing is you're going to sip from that vial more and more and more. It's already your vial, and you already know about it, and you've already taken it in. But you're just sort of partaking of that vial more and more and more because you've already got the cure. And that's a broken analogy, because really, it's already on the inside of us and just springing up. But I just want to encourage you with that, because as long as you're not accepting something, you're on the right track. That's why I told you before, I have nothing to say to you. You could be doing the wrong thing right now in front of me, and you say, you know what, I don't agree with this. I agree with what I see in the risen Jesus. Okay, keep doing that. Like, I got nothing to say to you. And why would I have nothing to say to you more than that, apart from any temporary help I might give you, right? Because you're on the right track. Because what is the right track? The Lord has given people the obedience of faith. This is the work of God, John 6, that you would believe in the one that God sent. And if you're doing that, you're doing the work of God. You know, people talk about doing the Lord's business or doing the Lord's work. Read John 6. The Lord's work is believing what Jesus did for you. And if you're doing that, that's why I'm like, you know what? What I'm always looking for is, what do you believe about that, though? And if you're believing correctly about that, you're on the right track and you're on the road to manifestation. You really, really are. That's how you do it. On the road to recovery from whatever it is. It really is the truth. So you set yourself up for manifestation when you just believe correctly about it. That's all that we're looking for, is just belief in Jesus regarding that thing.
We hope you enjoyed this message from Reformed Church. If you have, please share this with someone else and help us get this uncommon truth out to the world. If you'd like to support this good news, you can do so at reformchurch.com/give. Also on our website, you can take advantage of our free messages, articles, and even full discipleship courses. Start reforming your mind now at reformchurch.com.